medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the business solutions lead at Colas IS Support. Back with me this week, not yet every week, is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Howe Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Come on, not every week, but every week for like since July, since June. I mean, can okay. we like put a I'll timeline in there? And it's yep. like every day, you know, every damn week since. I mean, come on, I work hard.
I just like to give you grief every once in a while.
I have feelings too, you know.
Oh, I better put on my empathy hat. I learned that in our sessions with Cindy.
I was going to say, we just got done with Cindy. Come on, chop, chop. Anyway.
Yep.
No, what's going on? That's a really good question. What is going on? Well, yeah. How much
in focus prep.
Yeah, that's it. I'm really focused on in focus. You get that? Couldn't you tell?
I know.
No, but that is going on. We did submit our sessions, some 35, 30, 40, I don't know, a lot. Definitely looking forward to having everybody down there. And it sounds that it's going to be pretty well attended, you know,
that's
initial numbers. Yeah, I've heard that registration is kind of
good.
Yeah, off the hook, so to speak. That's awesome. We love this event. My team looks forward to this every year because this is where they get the validation, right? They get in front of the customer and they get to brag about what they do, but they also get to hear from the customer and how they actually use the product and what it does. And it does feel good to hear somebody actually using your product talk about how they use it and what it does. And you're like, hey, guess what? I did that. So the team does look forward to that and they look forward to the idea generation. There are so many sessions on AI and what people are doing practically now, day to day, to kind of interject AI into their day in the life to just make things easier. And I think my team's excited to see those use cases and see what they can do to further that enablement and whatnot. But anyway, we're getting excited. We're getting amped up. We got a lot of good stuff to bring to the table. So it'll be good times here in just over a month.
I know. We need to do our episode to talk about our hot sessions that will be there.
Oh, that's true. We should probably come up with a topic for the actual live session that we're going to do at In Focus.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah.
No.
We still got over like 4 weeks.
Come on. Yeah, just we can decide that the morning of. Hi, folks. Just show up. How about that? That's our abstract.
Yes.
You know, just the JDE connection. Just show up.
Do you really want to know? Just be there.
Yeah. Just be there. Hello.
It'll be fun.
No, but we have decided on, at least we've got a rough outline. We won't disclose it now, but we have a guest teed up, right? In line, ready to go.
And that's very well known and very well liked in the community.
Yes. So. Very popular and intelligent, articulate, always fun to chat with. So we'll save the disclosure or the reveal or when we do our In Focus preview session. So good stuff. How about you? What's up with you? I mean, you got to be like jumping on the road or something.
So. I am jumping on the road. As a matter of fact, tomorrow. Time to hit the road, Jack. Gotta go. Got a race on Saturday. Better get there.
All right. All right.
Let the adventures begin.
So you want to like drive soon so you don't have to like run there. Okay. Good.
Yeah. I don't think it would bode well for me to try and run there. I should have left already.
So I know we want to get into our topic today, whatever that happens to be. You said you had some questions for me, so I'll wait to find out what those are. But did we ever break down like where you're going? Like what race are you doing and what is that? I mean,
I don't remember. We might have. I'm doing the Wicked Fast Marathon in Livingston, Montana. So going to check off another state.
Okay.
And then after that, going to enjoy a little PTO and head into the mountains for some fun. I'm going into Yellowstone Park. I've never been there.
Okay.
And then on the rest of the way back, I'll make a stop probably in Grand Teton since it's pretty much right on the way. Mm-hmm. And then get back here.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now they call it Wicked Fast. Is there a reason? Like,
yeah.
Is it just assumed that if you go to Montana, you can run fast because the bison are chasing you, or what?
Yes, that's exactly right. I've seen videos of that. Don't get near them. Yes, it is called Wicked Fast. It is actually a net downhill. So I think the intention is with the downhills, you can be faster because, well, you're running downhill. Gravity, amazing thing that works, evidently. Yes. So that is the reason. I know there's a couple Wicked Fast in the series around the U.S., but this one just happened to work in my schedule. I wanted something that was roughly 6 weeks after my last one. So
okay,
here we are. Gonna go do it.
All yeah. right.
Very cool. And then Yellowstone, you've never been there. So, I mean, there's a lot to see.
I know.
Obviously, from Old Faithful to Yellowstone Lake to, let's see, what else is there?
Hot springs, all the wildlife.
Speaking of people getting chased after by bison, let's not have you be one of those.
I won't.
Okay, cool. Bring a GoPro just in case.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll do that. Well, my camera does have video on it, so
okay,
I guess I could always flip to that if I'm photographing one and they decide to charge me. Well, I'll try to flip.
You got the Grand Canyon too, right? The Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
Yellowstone.
Yep.
That's supposed to be very nice. So
yeah.
The arches, there's arches. Okay. So
yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Lots of stuff. So cool. Yeah. All right. What did you want to ask me today?
I have questions. I know that's a very unusual thing. I never have questions. But today, I actually wanted to ask a couple questions on some topics that maybe our audience may or may not be aware of. So there's two topics. Critical security patch updates, CSPUs, and the move away from 32-bit. So I know we've kind of briefly mentioned these in a couple prior episodes, but I figured customers might have some questions, or maybe they didn't attend Blueprint, or maybe they haven't had a chance to get to some of the SIG meetings. So I figured we'd cover them here. And I'm sure some of these things will be brought up at InFocus. So of course, here's my plug, shameless plug, attend InFocus. Go register now. But let's start with the CSPUs. What exactly is a critical security patch update, and how is it different from what used to be the quarterly CPU that customers probably were already familiar with? Let me guess. One happens monthly, one happens quarterly.
Damn. You always take my jokes right out of my mouth.
So, I know.
There you go. We went from quarterly to monthly. So in that sense, it's a frequency thing. The other difference is there is a CSPU for apps. So there's an ESU on the application side. So it's not just tools this time. So typically what we do is we do maintenance packs every quarter. We do these drops throughout the year, updates annually. And then we announce as part of the quarterly drops, the CPU, like what were the critical patch updates that we included in our release. Now we're effectively releasing tools on a monthly basis instead of a quarterly, and announcing on a monthly basis what is included via the CSPU process, and via the CSPU, what's included in that. So this is a monthly drop of security patches, as it's aptly named. That's really it. The big difference, though, is that it actually includes ESUs. Now, the question that comes up, and maybe I'm reading ahead without reading ahead because I don't know what you're going to ask me, is, well, are the ESUs from applications dependent on the tools release? And the answer is no.
Okay.
We have not, in no instance so far. I mean, I'm not saying that there couldn't be something in the future that causes that, but right now, the CSPU for tools is separate from the CSPU for apps. For applications. So you can take them independently. One does not require the other.
Boy, now I have more questions, but.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
That's how we roll, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, one note, I should probably save this for later, but it's a conversation. I don't want to forget. We do have office hours on a monthly basis. It's the fourth Tuesday or Thursday of the month. We do office hours with Pradeep Pandey and Clayton Seeley to talk about the CSPUs and answer any questions that customers have. So I believe that is linked on LearnJDE and some of the knowledge pages on My Oracle Support.
We can include a link to that then.
Yeah, we'll include a link to that. But the point is if you do have questions and we don't get through all of them in this conversation, by all means, attend that and ask whatever question you have, because Clayton and Pradeep can answer these things much better than I can. But anyway.
Got it.
So, all right.
So why are we moving to monthly instead of simply continuing with the quarterly?
So you have the Frontier Model Security Program that Oracle is pursuing, where, as we all know, AI is advancing at a rapid pace, and the frontier models, specifically Anthropic, as well as OpenAI, are releasing models fairly regularly, and they've gotten very good at identifying vulnerabilities. So we are releasing new patches on a regular basis at a higher frequency with an understanding that we're trying to be proactive. I can't speak to much more than that as far as details, like how are we proactive and what does exactly that mean? But at the end of the day, just to be clear, I mean, before anybody's like, well, what were you doing before? We scan every release. We've got multiple different ways of scanning our product, both static as well as dynamic, to look for security vulnerabilities, identify things proactively, patch those things as quickly as we can. And there's multiple other methods that we use. It's not like we were lackadaisical in any way, shape, or form. It's just that, hey, guess what? These models are pretty good too. So this is another tool that we can use to analyze our code and make sure that there are no vulnerabilities out there to be exploited. So,
okay. So if these are coming out monthly, should customers be kind of installing these or taking them every month, or only if the customer determines that it could impact them? And then follow-up question, if they come out monthly, are they cumulative? Or if I missed last month's, do I have to go find last month's?
No. I don't think there's anything that we deliver that isn't cumulative, but maybe I'm wrong on that. I hate to get quoted on this stuff or being recorded. Damn it. But anyway, they are cumulative. And just like our ESUs are always cumulative and whatnot. So you do have that. So if you miss, you'll get caught up with next month. Your first question is, should I be taking these on a monthly basis? Well, you know, what's realistic for your business? And obviously we're putting them out there because we believe you should. And we don't want to delay general goodness and general health improvement to the install base by like holding these up and saying, oh, well, they should only be taking these things, let's say once every 6 months. So let's just hold off. It's like, no, when it's done and ready, let's ship it as quickly as possible, get the goodness out there. So what's realistic for customers, that's completely different. That really depends on your specific situation, but not wanting to make any assumptions about that, we're going to put it out there. And if you can take it, you should take it. I don't think I would be a trusted advisor if I said, well, you know, those security things, you just take them whenever you can.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Why not?
So.
Okay. If you're running JD Edwards, InFocus 2026 needs to be on your calendar. Join the JDE community September 21st through the 23rd in Denver, Colorado, for 3 days of education, networking, and insights into what's next for JD Edwards. Get an early look at Release 27. Learn how Oracle is enhancing JD Edwards with Redwood. Explore AI enablement opportunities. And understand upcoming platform support changes that could impact your roadmap. We'll also be covering topics like orchestrations, automation, OCI, security, and modernization strategies from customers and Oracle experts. Early bird registration ends August 14th, so register now before rates increase. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus and join us in Denver. So what if I'm several releases behind? Can I still take advantage of those? Or does it become increasingly important that I really keep my system more code current?
Well, it's back to your previous question. If you're on 9.2.7.1 or something like that, and we just released this and you want to take this, well, then you're getting current.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting current on tools, at least. You're going to get current to that point. And for the application ESUs, well, you'll get current to whatever is included in that ESU. So it doesn't necessarily mean all of apps. It's not a full release where we just tell you to take everything. You're still only taking what's impacted, and cumulative will be the difference to date. So your ability to take these, the further behind you are, the bigger the delta, the bigger the delta, the bigger the challenge, right? Which really leads to probably your next question, which came through earlier this week in an email. I'm guessing. So go ahead.
Do you think I'm going to ask, do I have to upgrade?
No. Oh. The question that came through earlier this week was, what do 32-bit clients do?
Well, I was getting there. Not quite yet. I had one more.
Okay.
Before I asked that. Well, actually, I had two more before I asked that question. Okay. So is the process for the CSPUs any different if I'm running my JD Edwards on-prem versus in the cloud, hosted somewhere or with a managed service provider?
No. The specific steps that you have to follow are the same. It's just who follows them, your managed service provider or you.
Yeah.
So no, I don't believe there's any difference. And again, this is the JD Edwards CSPU, the JD Edwards
right.
side
There's
of
probably
the house.
Ones for like OCI, if you have right. to be running in OCI.
Oracle has ones out there for Fusion. They have ones out there for WebLogic server database. Mm-hmm. So again, depending on what components you're running, when you look at taking the JD Edwards CSP, you should likely look at your entire stack from Oracle and make sure that you're up to date on all of it.
So if I'm a JD Edwards customer listening to this podcast and I've never heard of CSPUs until today, what are the first three things I should do after I listen to this episode?
Oh, God, three? I have to come up with three?
Okay. What are the first couple things? Doesn't have to be three.
Well, go to the show notes and take the link to the announcements, because that'll have the list of resources that you need to understand what to download, where to download, how to download, what's included, those sorts of things. So you have that at your disposal. And then, of course, depending on who you are, what your roles and responsibilities are, you probably want to talk to, if you're not the person in charge of making the decision, you probably want to make sure that your other stakeholders in JD Edwards are aware of this, and you guys put together a plan for how you can get up to date with these, because security is really everybody's number one. So
it should be. Okay. So now the question that you jumped to earlier, are these 32-bit and 64-bit?
Well, multi-layered question, right?
So it transitions into my next topic. So,
sure. On the tools side, we went to 64-bit only back in 926, which is roughly 4 years ago, coming up on five, we'll say, because at the end of the year, it'll be 5 years when we went to 64-bit. So, yes, those are 64-bit only. So, if you are on a tools release prior to 926, and again, it's always layered, right? We first introduced 64-bit in 9.2.3. That gave you the ability to go 64-bit if you wanted. And then in 9.2.6, we went 64-bit only. So you had the ability between those three releases to go 64-bit at your own choice. And then with 9.2.6, we said, nope, no choice anymore. Got to be 64-bit. So as long as you're 64-bit, you're good to go with the tools side of the house. And if you're not, if you're on, I don't know, 9.2.5.6, I think was the last release that we put out that was 32-bit. If you parked yourself there, well, you're still parked. I mean, nothing about what we are releasing is going to fix that. So,
right.
No.
Right.
You're stuck and you can't take these things. And I don't know what to tell you at that point. But then if you're on those releases, though, as far as 32-bit is concerned, and you want to take the ESU side, yes, we currently ship both 32-bit and 64-bit ESUs. So yes, you will be able to take the CSPU for applications, even though you cannot take the CSPU for tools if you're 32-bit.
Got it.
All the more reason to plan your next update and get to 64-bit.
64-bit. Which is my next topic. So I believe at Blueprint, we had a little announcement regarding 32-bit. And so let's kind of start with what was actually announced. So I believe it was along the lines of that you're only delivering 64-bit going forward. What exactly does that mean?
Well,
we're only delivering 64, but you go, no.
Oh, so thanks for clearing that up for me.
Well, yeah. So no. We're going to stop shipping, if you will, 32-bit ESUs at the beginning of the year. So come January 1, you're not going to get a 32-bit ESU out there on Update Center where you normally go. Can you take all the ESUs prior to that that we released? Of course. In that sense, it's like being in sustaining. You have access to everything that we released 32-bit wise up until that point. But after that point, we're 64-bit only, and that's the way it is. So you're going to have to make that transition. You're going to have to make that migration, conversion, whatever you want to call it, to get to 64-bit in order to take ESUs come Jan 1.
So if I'm running my JDE on 32-bit today, that doesn't mean it just stops working come January 1st.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Good.
And it doesn't mean that you don't have support. You can call in and we can troubleshoot and we can help you figure out what the issues are. You're on 9.2. 9.2 is on Premier support. You're going to get some help. But the point is that even though 9.2 is on Premier support, we have to reserve the right to enhance the software. You have to reserve the right to keep up with MTRs and MBRs. I mean, we just talked about minimum technical requirements and minimum build requirements.
Okay? Thank you.
In order to maintain the system and keep the system viable, because we have things like security that we have to keep up with. And so mm-hmm. we have to continually uplift this stuff. And that means we have to go to newer versions of, I mean, take Java. Java is a great instance. It's kind of a common denominator across all the components in the stack. We have to keep up with that. Java's releasing its own CPUs and CSPUs. So we must keep up. And as a result of trying to keep up with that, all the other components have to come up with that. And not all the other components support 32-bit. So guess what? We have to uplift. And in order to keep things viable, we have to stay up to date. So in that sense, we have to drop some of this stuff, some of these prior versions. So it doesn't mean that 9.2 is in sustaining or that you're in sustaining, so to speak, but my ability to deliver you a fix now is severely hampered because you're sitting on basically a business that I can no longer deliver fixes on.
So the recovering accountant in me says, mm-hmm. wait a minute, year end is December 31st, you know, we get these year-end ESUs. If I'm 32-bit, am I going to get mine?
Well, yeah, if you take it before January 1st.
Okay, good.
So now, if we release it before January 1st, which I hope we do, I mean, we typically release it at the end of November, or early December. So yes, your year-end ESUs will be 32-bit only, but I could try to avoid this question, but I won't. I'll just address it. So what happens on January 1st?
Yeah,
January 1st, I'm delivering 64-bit ESUs.
So if you find a bug in the year end that you delivered, you're going to deliver that fix in 64-bit.
Correct.
Okay. You have to have a hard stop somewhere. And there's
I get it. Yeah, it's not always convenient. Can you call support? Can we troubleshoot? Can we figure out the root cause? Yes. And there are alternatives, right? I mean, in a sense, I'm not saying this for everything that I deliver after January 1st, request this because I'll shut you down pretty damn quick. But as we've always done, the ESU is not the only way to receive one of our patches. Mm-hmm. Just like upgrading the tools release to the latest maintenance pack or the dot release is not the only way to receive tools fix. When the circumstances warrant, we call them POCs, yep. right? Not POSs. Just kidding. POCs. On the application side, we call them code fix or paper fixes. Sorry.
Paper. Yeah, I was going to say a code I've change. Heard the term paper fixes.
Yeah. We say code change internally. They call them paper fixes, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there are other ways in which we can help address that issue. So are we going to wholeheartedly abandon you? Well, no. Of course not. We've never done that. But at the end of the day, it's important that we keep moving forward. And along those lines, I know you're not asking this, but I'm going to throw this in here because I hear Clayton talking in my ear. It's 32-bit this year that we drop. And on January 1st, 2028, we're going to be web only as far as ESUs are concerned. So you've got to get current, right? We're not going to issue the other version of our ESUs after January 1st, 2028. So this is just kind of the start of things. As we try to progress forward, as we try to shed some of this debt ourselves and get people moving forward and allow ourselves to keep moving forward, this is what we have to do. So people have to figure out their upgrade strategy. They have to figure out their cadence, because this is the type of stuff that happens. You're going to get left behind and you're going to get stuck, and it's not going to be a good spot to be in. So it started a long time back. 923 is when we first introduced 64-bit, and we gave you the option for 3 years. And now, 7 years later, that means 10 years since we originally released 64-bit. We've given you 10 years to get to 64-bit. And you're asking me, if after January 1st, will you still give me 32-bit? And how do I get to 64-bit by the end of the year? And I'm like, you had 10 years to get there at this point. Yeah. So just to put things in perspective, and we're telling you right now that we're going to web-only ESU deployment in a year from that. So again, we'll get the word out there on that, but it's all the more reason to keep up to date.
So when customers hear the moving from 32 to 64-bit, I think a lot of them really immediately think of a major upgrade project.
Yes.
Right? And they get a little scared. And I get that. I think I might know the answer to this question, but how big of a project is it actually?
You know, that's hard for me to answer. And everybody hates to say, it depends.
It depends. See, that was good. Yep. Yeah, that was my answer.
Yeah, it really depends. Since 926, there has been an ESU containing the application business function changes, which we made back then that you could have taken. So if you literally have not taken an application ESU in the last 4 or 5 years, well, geez, darn, you're in a tough spot. But I'm guessing most people have, like, they've probably kept not up to date, but periodically up to date. Every 3 years. So that's at least 2 updates that they've taken since then. And that means they've got all the application changes they need. It's just a tools change, which is fairly seamless. However, where people run into the challenge is their integrations. So they have to make sure that their third parties, they got to take them to a 64-bit related version. Mm-hmm. And of course, that increases the scope of testing. So again, it depends. If you have to uplift the app side and look at the net change from the application side, and you have to uplift the tool side, and you have to uplift and convert all your integrations, suddenly this does become a fairly large project from a validation perspective. It's going to take an upgrade level effort to get it done. Versus an update. Again, the whole reason that we went to quarterly, the whole reason that we're doing even annual updates is to give you stepping stones and to give you the ability to make these updates, not upgrades. But if that's where you're at and that's the delta that you're dealing with and the complexity that you're dealing with, then yes, it can be an upgrade level event.
Okay, that's helpful. I'd like to believe that a lot of the customers are staying up to date with the apps, but I feel like more are starting at least to stay up to date with tools. Mm-hmm. Apps, I think, has always been a little bit more of an afterthought because it does typically involve more testing, because then you got to get the business involved, right? And we got to get their blessing and sign off, especially in apps, right? For any changes that may be coming through. Not saying we shouldn't do the same for tools, but...
I think you're right. I mean, I have my own... obviously way of looking at the world, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know, but you have those that have kept up to date on tools. And so they are 64-bit, but they haven't kept up to date on apps.
Yeah.
So they keep up to date on tools. Maybe it's because of security and some of the innovation we're doing on the digital platform, as well as system administration and those sorts of things. So they want to take advantage of that. And because the apps works and the business seems happy, they don't touch that other side. So they just leave it alone. And then you got the other side that says, okay, we're going to park ourselves on 32-bit. So we're 9256 and we're not going to take tools at all, but they're actually periodically taking applications because they can, because they just don't want to make that leap to 64-bit. So they're actually closer to up to date on applications than they are tools, which is an interesting prospect, right? And then of course you've got the extremes of both sides, which is, I never do anything. Well, whatever. Call them the fossils. I'll just put them in the fossil category. And then you got the ones that say, no, I take actually tools and apps every year. And you say, oh, so you're the unicorn.
Right.
So you got these different categories and everybody's in their own situation. So it's very difficult to judge, but you can look at those situations and understand the complexities and challenges that they're facing in each one.
Well, thank you. That was very helpful. And hopefully it helped our listeners for those that did have questions or maybe hadn't heard about this, that hopefully this sheds a little light. And like you said, we'll put some resources in the show notes for people with the announcements and maybe a link to the office hours so people can ask questions and continue to get updated. And of course, again, shameless plug, attend in Focus. You can ask these questions there too, right? Get involved with your SIGs. You can do that there as well.
Like I said earlier, office hours every month.
Yeah.
If you have questions on this, on not just the 32-bit, but if you have questions on the CSPUs and the security side, attend office hours on a monthly basis, and hopefully you can get some answers.
All right. So Midwesternism this week. So last week in episode 117, our wrap up with Cindy Edwards, we dropped our Midwesternism, which was Pearson's salted nut rolls. We actually recorded that entire interview as one piece and then had our lovely editor break it down for us because it was a little too long to drop all at once. So when I recorded this, I was very excited to share about Pearson's salted nut roll. And I kid you not, about 2 weeks later, something came through my Midwest Facebook news that said, guess what? They're shutting down Pearson's salted nut rolls.
Yep.
I was like, no, I just talked about this and I was actually really craving one. I might have to go run out or maybe ask my dad, can you pick me up a box of salted nut rolls, please?
You're going to have to stock up. You're going to have to stock up.
I know. I'm kind of sad about this. So yeah, there was, I guess, a filing with the state of Minnesota that they're closing their St. Paul factory after a nearly 120-year run on West 7th Street in St. Paul. So I was right about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just due to a lack of financial stability on a going-forward basis necessary for the continued operation of the site. So,
oh, that's too bad.
I know. I hate to report sad news. Yeah.
Darn it. I mean, all of us have to go out and go get her.
A Pearson salted nut roll.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Go get one.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And maybe we'll have to get a few for posterity. Is that right?
Posterity. Yeah. I wonder what the shelf life is. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I did see them in like one of those Lunchables, like a Minnesota Lunchable.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like they have spam and they have the corn dog and they have.
Oh,
the
Pronto Pop, as a lot of Minnesotans refer to it.
Sorry. I used the
wrong words.
And they got, I think, Lefse?
Lefse.
In part of it. And then, of course, they have for dessert your Pearson's salty nut roll. So, what are they going to do? They're going to have to find a replacement for that. Oh, my God.
I guess they are. I don't know what the Midwest Lunchable will look like.
No kidding.
I know. Well, to be determined, I guess. We'll maybe have to speak about that in a future episode.
I was going to say, look at these challenges. 32-bit, 64-bit, 4-bit, replacing Pearson salted nut roll. What do you do?
I know, right? It's going to be a sad day.
Yes.
Well, on that note, until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.